Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
Please stand as we read the Word of God. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and now is in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. May the Lord add his blessing to these words.
You may be seated. As we have mentioned a few times this morning, it's Advent. That is the time that, as a church, we prepare ourselves for the coming birth of Jesus. And so that's Advent. But what seems to happen is something called December. And we try and cram as much as we can into the, 31 days in December, but about the 23 days leading up to Christmas. We try and cram as much as we can to those days. There's Christmas parties to go to. There's decorating to do. There's cookies to be made. There's all kinds of things, and we try and be as busy as we can during December. And we kind of forget about Advent. And it gets to the point where we forget why we're even celebrating Christmas, because we've gotten so caught up in being busy. It's almost like that badge of honor. I'm so busy, I can't do anything else because I'm so busy doing this. We just try and be as busy as we can. And so our focus switches from Advent, preparing for Christmas, to just being busy. And so for our sermon series here, we're trying to slow it down just a little. And maybe even remind you to slow down or even stop for a little bit. And remember why we do any of this. And so I will admit I sometimes can get caught up in busyness of December. And so I also need to hear this. It's okay to not do everything. It's okay to slow down. It's okay to stop so that you can remember what Christmas really means. So you can truly celebrate Christmas. Because all those things that keep us busy, none of them actually have anything to do with the real reason of Christmas. Because decorating, the tree, the lights, presents, making and eating cookies, none of that actually has a connection with truly what Christmas is about. They're all fun things to do, but they really don't connect with the meaning of Christmas. Because what makes Christmas Christmas is not the tree and lights and parties and decorations and cookies. What makes Christmas is God fulfilling his promise to us to send us his son. What makes Christmas so truly special is stopping to remember what happened, remembering all that God did for us and all the ways he did it. God didn't start Christmas for us to be busy and do things. Christmas started with a baby being born for us. And it started with the angels going out and telling the news of what God was going to do. And while not the very first part of Christmas, but where we're going to start is the angel going to Mary. Angel Gabriel went to Mary and gave her a message. A message that would change the world forever. And we don't know really all that much about Mary. We are told that she was engaged to Joseph. And that's about it. We are not told anything about her family. We're not told anything about her life before all of this happened. But based on what we kind of know of the time, there's a few assumptions that we can make that are probably fairly accurate, but we don't know for sure. It is believed that Mary would have been quite young, probably 13 to 15 years old. And we know that it was a patriarchal society. So the men had the power and control in that time. So Mary would have been her father's responsibility until she was married, and then it would be her husband. And she would not have had many choices, many options other than what her father told her. More than likely, Mary would have been helping around the house, helping with any siblings she might have had, helping care for the house, clean, cook, possibly help her parents in whatever position that they had. If they did whatever work, she might have had some help in that. But she really didn't have the lot of options and things that we think of today. So here is Mary, young, not a lot of choices, and an angel comes to her. And can you picture this? An angel comes and says, well, fear not, because of course an angel appears out of nowhere, you're kind of going, what? And then, you are favored among women and have been chosen to have a son, and you will name him Jesus. These words change her life forever. Quite a message that Mary hears from this angel. Now, if I think back many years ago to when I would have been 13 to 15 years old, and somebody came and told me this, I don't think I would have reacted quite the same as Mary. She's probably a lot calmer in her response than I would have been. Because I would have had a lot of questions like, what? Say that again? I don't think so. But that is not Mary's response. Mary's response is a simple, all right, how are we going to do this? How is this possible? Mary doesn't outright deny what the angel says, doesn't go onto the list of the impossibility of what the angel is saying, doesn't say, nope, you got the wrong person, nope, this isn't going to happen. She is curious how this will happen. She has no way of becoming pregnant. There's no way for that to happen, to her knowledge. Seems to be a pretty legitimate question to say, okay, how is this going to happen? We all have quite a few responses when God calls us to do something. I think quite a few of us will be there with me in the denial, no way this can happen, million questions about it. But we need to move more towards Mary's, all right, Lord, how can you do this? And accepting of what it is. But if we truly look at Mary's response, we can see how all of the excuses that we try and come up with have no bearing on anything. Because if we look at Mary, she's fairly young, but God has still chosen her. She's not too young to do what God has called her to do. And we are told about Elizabeth, who has also become pregnant, who is considered barren, unable to have children. And there's every possibility that might have even been considered too old to have children. And yet Elizabeth is not too old to do what God has called her to do. There is no excuse that we can offer. We're not too old, we're not too young, we're not too anything. When God calls us, he equips us to do what it is he has called us to do. We might question how God will bring about what he has said, but when we are willing to be used, God uses us. We hear Gabriel's response to Mary's questioning of how, and the response is, nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything. The only limits on God are what we put on him, not limits on what God can do. What we think is completely impossible, God can do. When we say we don't know how to do something, we are limiting God. We are limiting his ability to work in us and use us. When we say, well, I can't pray. When we say, well, I don't know how to invite somebody to church. When we say, well, I don't know how to share my faith with anyone. We are trying to limit God's ability to work in us. God is not limited by our understanding of him. God is not limited by our abilities. We limit God. When we understand that God is greater than anything we can comprehend, when we realize that with God all things are possible, then we are ready to be used by God for his glory. The words that Gabriel speaks to Mary are words of hope. Words of hope for Mary, and words of hope for each one of us. The good news, the hope that is in this passage is that we too can share the good news of Jesus Christ with all the world. We all have an invitation to go out and share the news that Jesus Christ is to be born in Bethlehem. We have words of hope for what that means to each one of us. We don't need to run around like crazy, being so busy doing everything to celebrate Christmas. We don't need to get lost in all the busyness that the season tries to pull us into. And instead, we need to slow down, maybe even stop, and listen for what it is that God is telling us. Listen for what it is that God wants us to do. And then to go out and speak words of hope to those who need to hear it this season. A Our simple words of hope can change the world. If we simply say why it is we celebrate Christmas, why it is we come and worship Jesus Christ. Maybe it's simply inviting someone to church. Those simple words can change the world. Our words should be just as Mary's were. Let it be so, Lord. I am the Lord's servant. May we accept what God has to say to us. May we go out and change the world. For just as Mary's world was changed by these words, and the entire world was changed, we too can go out and change the world with what we say. Some of the simplest words that we have to say is God loves you. Those are words that can change the world. Jesus gave us other simple words that changed the world. We hear these words said during communion. This is my body, which is broken for you. And this is my blood, which is shed for you. Those words changed the world. We don't have to be busy and going everywhere. We can just say some simple words that Jesus gives us to tell others to go out and change the world. And so, let us remember these simple words that Jesus told us, that on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to God, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And after the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, it is in remembrance of these his mighty acts, that we do in remembrance of Jesus Christ, as we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice.